You're listening to a Mash Those Buttons podcast, brought to you ad-free with the support of our patrons. Visit mashthosebuttons.com or stay tuned after the show for more details.
What is going on, guys? Welcome to Double Tap. This is Mash Those Buttons podcast dedicated to the FGC. I am your host, well, at least one half of this show's host, into the new year. Yes, we made it 2021. 2020 had no more continues left, no more quarters, no more tokens to rain upon us. We made it to the next level. And with me, of course, that made it alongside, got through the elevator level. It was a little crazy. We had to throw a couple quarters in there to keep him going. But he made it through Meza. He's in the building.
What up? What up? What up? Yo, all I can
Happy holidays,
is,
homie. Yes. Happy New Year's.
It's already feels like a crazy new year because like nothing's changed.
Yeah.
I've been saying it. Everybody's been saying it. Nothing's changed.
People are already posting up like the Arrested Development images, like, wow, what a year, right? And it's like, it's January 4th. Like, holy shit.
Yeah, dude. But no snow on the ground and everything just feels so,
yeah.
It feels like weird.
Yeah, I know. I think we're actually due for some snow anyway, at least out here in the east.
But, I know some people got in, like, I think the Midwest or something like that. They were just like, oh, there's snow.
Yeah, just in time for Christmas. I know we were originally supposed to, but that didn't pan out. But it's all good, though. New year, new me, psych. Oh, snap. Cardinal sin already. Off the rip. New year, new me. I'm going to keep my phone on at all times. Have Jared get pissed about me later. But regardless, this is the first podcast of the new year. Podcast number 201, recorded today on the 4th of January. No live show this week. I'm feeling actually a little under the weather. I know my energy is like trying to get pumped up. But trust, guys, I'm going to need a Senzubin after all this to get myself back to it. But we will be back in full force next week with the show. For those that are, you know, new, maybe your New Year's resolution is to listen to more podcasts on Spotify, because we also live on Spotify, not just iTunes. Welcome. This is a damn good resolution, and hopefully we'll help you guys keep that resolution throughout the entire year. We are a show dedicated to everything and anything in the fighting game community. And for those that are returning with our two quarters, also made it out of 2020, thanks for coming through. Thanks for, you know, following along and making it through, you guys. Appreciate it. But we're going to get right into it. Not a whole lot in terms of like game updates. We're in a little bit of like a lull at this moment. I know I've said that before, but it's the truth of the matter. There's really not a lot in terms of gaming news. There are some updates, which we're definitely going to cover in this episode. But it's going to be we're going to have a very interesting discussion that, unfortunately, we didn't get a chance to do it last week, right before the new year, because we kind of did our big 200th episode. Yeah, but we're going to be jumping on that as well.
I feel like that's always a big thing during New Year's. We've seen it happen before where everybody drops their bombs either before New Year's is over or a week or two after. I mean,
yeah.
We're getting like King of Fighters information in like a week or two. So
King of Fighters info, we just got some Guilty. Street Fighter, we're supposed to get something within in February as well. Dragon Ball FighterZ. Ooh, you know what? I actually don't even know what's up with the last of the DLC there. I can't remember if there was anything at the end.
Super Saiyan or Gogeta.
Yeah, we don't know. We don't know where when Gogeta's supposedly like gonna release, right? We know of the character, but we don't know like when. So, you know, the closer we get to it, once we get a date, we'll kind of have an understanding as to, you know, what kind of news will come around. But in the meantime, though, let's just jump into it. Guilty Gear. Anji Mito. We got that trailer that dropped. That dropped on New Year's Eve. We actually did a live reaction to it. For those that were hanging out with us, appreciate you hanging out. Thanks for being there.
Sucks I couldn't do it. You know, when I wanted to.
It was very impromptu. We were just like, oh yeah, that's happening tonight, right? At like 7 or 8 o'clock or something. Had thousands of people waiting and watching, so it was a short trailer. You know,
yeah, I was only
a
minute that.
It was a minute 23, and to put it in perspective, we didn't get to see Anji until like 28 seconds in, so it's like under a minute's worth of Anji. But off the rip, you know, gotta criticize the theme. That's the first thing I'm gonna go to, the music.
Yeah,
I like it.
I like it, but it's not like how it used to be. That's what I'm gonna say.
It's not the same. I know people are getting split on it. I like the beat. I'm very open. One of the few things in life that you should ever be, one of the few things in life that you should always be open with is music, in my opinion, because, you know, you never know.
Yeah.
So I always give it a shot. But on top of the music, which I thought worked out very well, you know, we actually got to see his, you know, his guard canceling specials. We got to see the infamous butterfly projectile. We didn't get to see any EX version or anything like that, you know, in Accent Core Plus R, which what, you know, a lot of us are playing right now, known for his Oki with his projectiles that are also overheads. Yes, you heard me right. Projectiles that are overheads. I haven't seen a projectile that was an overhead since, like, Injustice, when Harley used to charge her gun fully. It was an actual level two was an overhead, level three it was an unblockable, because it was random. Like, if you charged it, it was like a 50-50 chance that it actually shot, and then if it didn't, it would just blow up and you'd be stuck in an animation, so you would get punished. No, Injustice one.
Okay, yeah, because I was gonna say, it was one both. She needed it, was both. It then, because one she was, it was hot both. Trash with the boxes.
Yeah, yeah, they the random factor was through the roof there. And then they just neutered her in two. But yeah, we're not talking about that. Anji looks good. Homeboy's got the neck muscles, just like his OG profile pic. For those that know what picture I'm talking about, know what I'm talking about. Yeah, like, a lot of similarities, you know. So there, nothing too crazy.
Something I did see that he didn't have that I was looking for was, at least in the original games, he used to have the command grab in air, and I didn't see that. Maybe it's just they haven't shown everything yet, but I didn't see the air command grab where he, like, puts you behind the fan and electrocutes you or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I also didn't see, like, I don't know if they're compensating at 58 seconds in where he has, like, that guard parry cancel, I guess, or something like that. He used to have forward heavy slash, which used to he used to put out both fans and spin, like, not spin that way, but, like, spin more of, like, a circular motion. And that would kind of eat up a lot of things. Like, sometimes that was even going through moves. Yeah, that's just missing. So, once again, I love the new design behind the character. I don't hate it yet. Like, obviously, it's just one of those things I mean, I want to get my hands on, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It's Anji. Like, it's the character that we know. We haven't seen him in a while. He wasn't in the Rev series, or excuse me, in the Exard series. So, Here's the funny thing about this trailer, right? I think, in my personal opinion, they should have swapped Anji and, like, Giovanna in terms of how they released them.
Yeah.
Like, the trailers. Because Anji is, you know, right now, as of right now, it's Anji. Like, you know, we're all, you know, whoever's playing Accent Core Plus R remembers the character. Like, it was like, okay, yeah, this is pretty true to the character. So we already know what he can do. While as Giovanna, like, you know, and as we get closer to the game, especially as we get closer to the end of the roster, because remember, this is going to be a 15 character roster. We have one character left. Anji's trailer, like, I think if you even look at our live reaction, I was kind of like, yeah, that's it. Like, yeah, I've already seen a lot of this. So it's like not really gripping me as much. It's not getting me as hyped to you know, to kind of remember, like, yeah, Strive's, like, coming out. I mean, yeah, Strive is coming out, but if it was the new character versus the returning character, I'd be a little bit more hype, but
I'm gonna tell you now, people are gonna be pissed. Because so realistically speaking, looking at all the characters that are in the game at the moment, we got what, two new characters?
Yes.
Yeah. But they were released at such weird times. Like, we already knew about the first new character. He should have been in Giovanna's spot to begin with.
He was around since, like, the earliest trailer of Strive. We got to see his headshot and finally got to see something, what, like, a month ago, 2 months ago, something like that on him. So,
but here's the problem with this. We do this every time, and I know people are going to be pissed, and I'm okay with it. I'm in agreement this time. Like, usually these characters, I'd be like, oh, wow, that's a nice, like, if this was Guilty Gear Xrd, I'd be like, totally understand, new system, new graphics, I'm all for it. But we're past that point now. They're doing it again where they don't have Jam, they don't have Johnny. These characters are DLC characters. It's just not working. It really is, unless they're not part of the timeline anymore for this, because you got Leo in here, you got, you know, you don't got Elfelt, but you got Ramlethal, which I felt like Elfelt was higher. People liked her more than Ramlethal, just from what I thought. I guess Ramlethal was more liked, which I have no problem because I'm a Ramlethal main. But at the end of the day, I just felt like Jam got the boot. You know, where was Testament? Maybe that's the last character, you know?
Yeah, so where's, you know, Venom? That actually kind of lead that leads, well Venom's dead canonically. Like Cliff, he's dead. He died in Rev 2, yeah. Which is why the new character, he kind of fills the void of the vampire and such. He's got like kind of the same mechanics. He even has the same knockdown animation where he's like knocked down, but not really knocked down. He's got the bite mechanic. His teleport is the same. So he kind of fills that void in a different way. But adding to that, actually, shout outs to JinBeXXX, JinBeXXX. Had a theory about the 15th character. This was actually within the next day, or yeah, the day after the trailer dropped. The grid that they actually showed, right? Because at the end of the trailer, they showed the 14 man roster off the rip. We have, of course, the 15th, which we don't know. Noticed something very interesting about the way it was ordered.
Yes.
If we take from Zato to Mephilia, Amelia, that's GG1, then you got Leo and Ramlethal, the Exard series. Then we have Giovanna and oh my goodness, I'm never gonna remember his name until he actually releases the Samurai
Sword Blood guy.
Yeah, that dude. That's the new characters, and then we have Anji, and then supposed 15th character. Anji was introduced in Guilty Gear X. So these characters, the way they're arranged, actually have a pattern. And this is still just a theory, but this theory blew up afterwards. You know, 300 plus retweets, hella likes.
I'm fine with it.
It got people thinking, which is cool. I dig it too. So if we're talking about Guilty Gear X, you know, there's several characters. And the fact that the next trailer or the announcement for the next character will be in February. When that dropped, I instantly thought, oh, a Valentine, because, you know, February, Valentine's Day, makes sense. You already have Ramlethal Valentine, but you said, you know, Elfelt's a surprise. She's not in original Valentine. Jacko could be another. Those are all Valentines. But they, I think what original Valentine wasn't in Guilty Gear X. She actually was in Overture, in Double X Overture, I believe. Guilty Gear 2 Overture. And that was not a well-liked game, and she was just an unplayable character in that game. She was just the final boss. That was what I thought, and it would make sense because of the name. It markets itself, and it's a character we haven't seen in a while, right? Well, right now with you know, the 15th potential character, it could still be Jam, Johnny, Dizzy, Venom. Those are all characters that were introduced then. Biken was in the original game.
She was a hidden
character. But I think she's going to be the first hit of DLC. She was voted as most popular character. She is going to make it, and especially if Anji's in it, because Anji and Biken, there's a lot of lore there. And he was absent, or rather, I think you even just heard his voice only in the game in Rev 2. But he was not a playable character, and Biken was, right? It's a little strange. So that's kind of like where we're sitting at. So February, you know, we got to sit tight, wait till then, for us to actually see, the next character. Once that is set, we have our 15 man roster, which, you know, we've talked plenty of times before about roster sizes. I think it's okay. I just hope I think they wanted 25, if I'm recalling correctly from the rip. They wanted initially 25, but they, due to COVID and such, that kind of like stopped some work for it, so they had to like pivot very well. Either like COVID was a factor of it, might have been something else, but COVID was definitely a factor for it, like for it was for everybody else.
I think it's a good thing because they could focus more on the game itself. I mean
it helps though, because I was just having more discussions about this gameplay and I'm like, it's still not fully sold, especially after playing Accent Core for so long now.
And that's the thing, I said it before, I'm always willing to play a game with 8 characters with a fleshed out system before I play a game with 32 characters that it doesn't have a fleshed out system and they're busy trying to pick it up. That's what they did with King of Fighters 15. King of Fighters 15 had a fucking terrible fight system. It wasn't clean. It obviously got a little bit better. They updated the graphics, but there was just so many goddamn characters and they're trying to balance it at the same time as well as make a fight system that actually works. So at the end of the day, I would love to see them work on the system mechanics, make the game fun and enjoyable for me to play, make everything about just like Granblue. Granblue didn't have a shit ton of characters, but it actually had a good fight. Like, it had a good system. And as much as people may harp on, you know, Granblue not having the best network, its gameplay was perfectly fine. It just came out at a really bad time.
Yeah, this is a very awkward time, right? Yeah, I can see it, but we'll just have to wait and see at this point. Wait, hurry up and wait, kind of deal.
Yeah.
But besides that, we had a small little thing that came up literally, I think, within the last couple hours. I want to say, let me see the animation, because I peeped it out. Yeah, it was just like a couple hours. It was like late last night.
They've been doing some cool.
See an idol animation.
Yeah, they've been doing,
but she's not the only one.
Like, I like that they've been doing stuff like this on their page. And if you guys don't know, it's twitter.com guilty gear_PR. It's their pretty much their PR account for Guilty Gear Strive. They've been doing these, and obviously other stuff, but they've been mostly doing all these animations from round victory to, you know, win victories and stuff like, you know, time up loss. I like this because this keeps us integrated into what they're doing. And one, it also promotes the game. Plus, it's nice. I get to keep up to date with what's going on with Guilty Gear, even if I'm not able to play it yet. So maybe I might want to choose my character like this because of something.
Yeah, I mean, also you get a feel for the style, right? Like Giovanna, we don't know a lot about her. So, you know, idol animation and such, you know, can, when done right, can tell you a lot about a character, right? You know, she's got the little small hops, you know, kind of getting ready to fight, you know, trying to get limber, you know, from what we've seen from her gameplay, you know, she is going to be a fast, very tricky character. And, you know, this is just another extension of her personality in there. So it is those nice little tidbits there to kind of keep us waiting. Nagoriyuki, we got to see things like his actual super, I guess you can just call it super.
I'm also
the full animation of it.
I'm also curious because, like, I'm paying really close attention to this PR, and they always do something to, like, maybe sell a previous game or to, like, say, hey, pre-order this and that. Like, I'm seeing, like, Eno's theme, and I'm seeing, like, oh, Guilty Gear Strive pre-order. Like, I know they do this, but I'm also seeing pictures of Dizzy and Elfell. I'm like, okay, we do have some ideas of what characters might slip up and be, you know, in the future.
They're doing that to mess with your emotions, dog.
Oh, it's messed with.
Hey, this character might be in here.
They won. I've already lost. I mean, I've already won no matter what. Whoever gets entered into the game, I could care less about. I got Ramlethal. But, like, for the other people, I feel like this is something nice to speculate off of. I feel like that's something we missed for a lot of years, where everything's kind of already, like, revealed a little in advance, not by the company, but by maybe, you know, data miners or something like that. We're like, well, cool, I guess at least we know. Is it gonna be it? Because, you know, how accurate is it? But most of the time it is. This is the one time I feel like they're keeping everything under wraps. It kind of is really nice because I don't know. I don't think I want to know until the day it releases, which is gonna be kind of nice.
All right, so with that, that's it, what we got on Guilty Gear. Well, not a lot of updates, like I said, in any other games. I mean, Street Fighter V, this is just really a reminder for everyone. You know, February 19th to the 21st, it is Capcom Cup. We are getting closer and closer to it. We're just shy of a month and 2 weeks from it. It's going to be here. I keep thinking they're Guilty is going to bring something out on Valentine's Day. So I'm like, I keep associating the 14th with it. And I'm like, oh my God, we're going to have Guilty Gear release. And then we get to deal with Capcom Cup. That's going to be a sick week. Hopefully that's what happens. That would be great. But that's really going to do it for Fighter's Corner. We're going to jump right into the randoms of the FGC because we are picking up a couple random cool things that have just come across the interwebs, and we're going to talk around the water cooler that is the fighting game community. And this, actually, I've been following this for a good while only because I think I actually follow Xing Wang, who is a concept artist on Twitter. And it's been posting, it's making its rounds. But for those that, you know, I already heard of, or I think we even talked about Street Fighter Duel before, which is like the mobile game that kind of came out in China. This is specifically only to China. But Xing Wang actually created some designs. They have costumes within the game. And this is some sick costumes. Like, for those that also aren't aware, The company, the developer. I wish I realized who the developer was. I just know they're owned by Tencent. And Tencent, obviously being the parent company of, you know, such other companies like Riot and, you know, League of Legends owners and such, you know, they have like some incredible, incredible art pieces and character design and such. Like these designs are insane. And the reason I want to highlight them is because these are the kinds of designs that like would be disgusting if Capcom just implemented in Street Fighter V. This is a perfect pack. Like this could be a perfect DLC pack, street fashion pack, one and two. Similar to like Street Fighter 4, you know, how they came up with a theme and everyone in the damn roster got a costume, you know, to the theme where everyone had like, you know, the animals that represented them theme. That was pretty sick. So everyone had like a specific animal that like kind of like worked very well with the character. This could be like a fashion one, like the drip on M. Bison. I'm actually pretty envious of, not going to lie. I mean, Vega got a sick ass coat. Ken, the brother Shreds, man, he's got a skateboard. So, you know, the fireball pins, he's got his red fireball. He's got the regular blue one on it. Like, it's just disgusting. Guile is the only one that I'm a little sus on.
You know why, Guile?
Because I'm like, dude, you're like you gotta be at least your late 30s or something like that, early 40s. You gotta be a family man. This is not how a family man dresses.
Nah, but, man.
I don't know, like, man. The brother can flex it. You know what? Let him do his thing. And then we, of course, got the final piece, like the Chun-Li ones, the Sakura. I love Cammy's one, only because it was very B-girl-ish, right? And I'm like, I could see her being like that. But it was sick. It was just a lot of the, you know, a lot of the classic. It's like they took a lot of the classic characters, and then they just, like, threw Sakura in there because she's, like, young and hip. Like, I'm surprised there was no Karen. Like, Karen would also make sense in there if you're going to put Sakura.
They made it very, like you said, very street, very modern. And that's really hard to do with characters who have history in other places. I like it.
How do you extend their design into it, right?
Yeah. I mean, like, we see it with, obviously, hardcore artists who are solely not making, like, you know, working on game stuff, too, at the same time. This is really cool to see that, like, they took something a little different, put a twist on it, and they were just like, you know what, let's give it a really street vibe. And I guess that's a big thing in China, at least, for them to relate to their game. So I think it's a good idea. I think that's what's really kind of ranting and raving now, right? We see a lot of cyberpunk style stuff because that's the hot stuff right now. So, you know, we might get something that's a fighting game with a little bit of a cyberpunk edgy feel to it, or we might get a variation mobile game like this that might have a cyberpunk feel to it or a street feel to give it closer to that cyberpunk feel. So it just goes with the times. I just like it.
I just want to note two things, or one thing specifically is like Ryu's one, how the fact that he's got like a red G-Shock watch.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Those little details. And it's like, oh my God, because he could wear red gloves and it's like big and thick, like how his gloves are. Ugh, God damn it. My man slayed these designs. I just wanted to put it. I saw it on my feed for like a week. They started adding him, and then Event Hubs posted up the whole collection. I was like, oh sweet, I can see them all in one spot instead of just digging through my feeds to find them. But like, I'm pretty sure I follow him on Twitter. But shout out to Xing Wang for that. Like, you can check his stuff out over like ArtStation and such. He's got like incredible artwork that he does past just Street Fighter. You can get your Psylocke on. You can see some Batman works that he does. Some original stuff as well. It is. Dude, the dude's like incredibly talented. So like if you want a new, you know, a new phone wallpaper, there's some of these that could definitely be
I'm gonna need that solo Cammy real quick, or Sakura one. I'm good.
Yeah, it's pretty fire. I'm not gonna lie. I can't wait to see the next pieces of stick art that are gonna have these in it, because these are just way too good to pass up. All right, so enough mumbling over some artwork. What else we got? Oh yeah, all right, so hit me with this. Besides the artwork that I keep seeing on my feed, this has been posted up not only in a lot of my feeds on Twitter, but also in our own Discord. We got to see, shout out to Leonix for posting this up, Tough Love Arena.
Yes. Okay. So the best way I can explain this, because I've gotten to play it, it's a very abstract way of looking at fighting games. Still a fighting game. But what's amazing is it is a web browser fighting game, so you don't have to install anything. You just download it, play right from your browser. You could play with me. I could play with, you know, you know, my brother. I could play with housemates. It is a cool concept because guess what? It's free. That's the first thing. It's free. It is. Dude, I can't get over it. All right. So you guys got to understand, this game is not meant to be like super hardcore serious fighting game, right? But it has such a cool concept because it's like, imagine you're a kid and you're just drawing characters on your in your sketchbook or, you know, in the middle of class on paper, and you're making these sound effects by yourself, like if your characters were fighting. And that's what happened. This guy so happened to make that.
That's real. What's selling me is the sound effects is too damn funny. He's like pew, pew.
Yeah.
Ooh, oh, pew, pew.
This is literally put it together.
Too funny. Too damn funny. But you know what? At the heart of it, no pun intended, because they use a lot, you know, hearts is very much a used icon in the game. It really is, you know, a fighting game. It is sure not I don't want to say, you know what's funny? I can't sit here and say like, yo, it's not like polished. Like, no, this definitely has a lot of love and thought brought out into it and passion for the FGC. There's like JoJo's references in there, which is pretty sick. Maybe even possibly some Windjammers references, because I don't know if you're seeing some volleyball like type moves by the big guy. Like, I'm just like, yo, that's what's going on here? I know I said Windjammers, I said volleyball, but I mean like, you know, beach type things. It is just sick. Like, the combo system actually gets me pretty hype. Like, it's just like, oh, okay, finish it. Yeah, that's exact. Like, put that in any other game that has a similar system, and it's like, yeah, this definitely is like a fighting game type of route when it comes to creating combos and such. It is fucking awesome.
So there is something I want to know, is why he named them after foods. Because that's confusing me.
Maybe a Dragon Ball reference. Remember, like, maybe, you know, Kakarot, Raditz, Vegeta, Gohan's rice. You got vegetables. You know, he just went off a theme like that as an homage as well. The dabbing cat teleporting garlic is probably my favorite. Got the JoJo reference with the hand, and then just dab teleports. Like, how much disrespect do you need? Like, it's sick. I didn't get a chance to like check it out when Leonix first posted it up, but I did since then. I'm just like, dude, this is fucking
like awesome. The thing that I love about this is like, people will look, you could look back like right a few years and be like, man, what the hell were we thinking when we saw stuff like this? We got games that have phenomenal 3D graphics and all, and we get something like this. I mean, this is kind of the hot wave when, you know, we're stuck at home and we want to play online. And might add, they do have online.
Yo, COVID just makes you do a bunch of things. Yeah. Sometimes, hey, you know, fuck it. Maybe you'll just want to design your own fighting game. Which, by the way, as much as it looks like rough, like the animations and the idea behind it is actually very impressive.
Yeah.
It's incredibly impressive.
Very detailed. What I love about it is they use the main color, they use color schemes to make it seem like their 3D animation, or rather something that's emphasized on, will have another, like, you know how we normally have graphics that will show like when you're going for a special kick and it has like that flare outside it. They just use, they re-put out the same character's move, and then they just take another color and change it to another color, and then they just cut it so it looks like it's just part of it. So it's amazing how little effort it really was. And I'm pretty sure this was a hella effort. I'm not going to say it wasn't. But compared to a bigger, higher scale company using like 50 plus people, I'm pretty sure whoever created this, they were like, yo, I could do this by myself. And I love the UI, because everything's simplistic and it looks really like, I almost want to say it looks really childish, that it's not. Like, it's detailed. They even have cancel combos. They have a real training mode, like everything that you don't see in some regular fighting games they have, which is just like, it's absurd. And I gotta say it that way, but I do love concepts like this. I got told about it like overnight by my girlfriend. She was like, I literally was telling you earlier, she was like what the hell is this Tough Love Arena game that I'm supposed to be like, I'm hearing so much about. I'm like, I like, in my head, the first thing I'm thinking of is like, she's talking about like a Naruto Shippuden, like Ultimate Ninja Storm type game or something. Cause I'm going to tell her, don't play games like that. Like, unless you're like trying to have fun or something like that, not taking it serious. But then I saw it and I was like, okay, you ever get that notion where you're like, I should not look into this. Like, I shouldn't even click and read into it.
But like something catches your eye and you're like, okay, I gotta know. So like that's how I was. I was like a little kid. I was like, I was told not to go to this website. I'm gonna go. And I went and this is pretty interesting. I was like, this is silly. It's dumb. But it caught my eye that I was like, I gotta acknowledge it. It's too cool to like avoid. Like it's a gem. It's one of those like rough gems that you're like, this is never gonna go anywhere. But then you're like,
it's potential. For me, it's, you know what? Real recognized, real kind of deal. Like you could tell, like I said, you know, who did it definitely is cut from a cloth that we are very much accustomed to. So it, you know, once I see that, and I could just like feel it, I'm like, yes, like I'm all for it. So you guys can, like I said, check it out. It is completely browser based. Toughlovearena.com. You can go check it out. It's pretty awesome.
They actually have a Twitter too. So if you guys want to check,
they
it out,
do. It's Tough Love Arena on Twitter.
Yep. I just hit them with the follow. I think that's dope. They even do like little concept arts. Like they talk about their concept from like a year ago. And I don't know, maybe that's who we'll get on the show sometime, because this is pretty sick. I feel like we're gonna end up talking to like some like 14-year-old kid.
That's fine. You know what?
I think that's awesome.
It's projects like this that you gotta foster, like because you don't know, one, where it's going to lead, and two, you know, they could just be trying something different and it could just work out well. Or they could also, you know, they have the opportunity, whoever created it, you know, whatever the team or the individual, they have the opportunity to then like make all the right steps. Like, oh shit, let's throw roll back into this, let's do that. Apparently it's two people that, you know, they work regular day jobs as well, and you know, they are running a Discord too that you can go and check it out. Like it's awesome. You know, it's the next Divekick, right? Like Divekick was just what it was. It was a joke in itself, but look what, you know, it was able to create and harbor over the years. This is very much well could go in that same path.
I'm totally going to butcher the names, but they had the music was done by Josie Breckner and M. Guerrier. I totally butchered that last name. I'm sorry. But yeah, they even have a Bandcamp sound and everything like that. That's pretty cool that they're literally saying, hey, come like buy the game, like buy like our music, but like everything else is free. I'm pretty sure on Bandcamp it's free too, but I mean you can always support. Yeah, so it's
support.
A digital copy
support,
so you can buy the actual digital copy for $5 or more. You can't just like download it, which I think is cool. I believe you can stream it though, like I'm looking. Yeah, you can stream it, but if you want like these tracks to be like on your phone or anything like that, which they're dope. What's the style? I think it's like a, it's not like a retro, because we did it for when we were working on Rumble Pack. We did the same type of music. It's like kid cartoony slash like a retro like animation. Like it's cool. It's like you're in an animated virtual world. It's like virtual music. I think it's like almost like electro. I forgot the terminology for it. But this style of music is very hard to make. It's very hard to come by. I think it's cool that they put so much time into it.
Straight up. And I'm pretty sure it won't be the last either. So
yeah, let me get that.
Shout out to Tough Love Arena. Like I said,
expansion. What would they even call it?
Tough
for
Love Arena. Tough Love Arena Plus. Have fun. Have fun of it, or pay homage to the games before that, you know, would inspire them to build something. That's the route I would go.
I would go like Tough Love Arena Dance Edition, and they got like dancing characters now. Like I don't know. I mean, they could just base it off of whatever characters they want to make. That's what I love about like these indie games, that they could just do whatever.
Yep. Always when you ain't gotta worry about big contracts and selling units. That's the creativity flow. All right. So speaking of creativity, Tappa Never Sleeps. We haven't formally talked about them. But you know, Mez is like, yo, I'm gonna change that today.
Yeah. Like, I know you guys hear Gabe always talking about how he's been playing Marvel Online, been playing in tournaments. Well, that comes from Tampa Never Sleeps. Obviously, if you guys were to go to @Tong Never Sleeps, Tong has been putting it together with the Tampa guys to make sure that they make Marvel relevant again. And I'm not talking about just any Marvel. I'm talking about UMVC 3. It's gotten Coach Steve to go back. It's gotten Ray Ray to go back. I even think I saw Flux playing. We saw Flocker back. We're seeing all these old school players. We were seeing from Marlin Pie jumping in once in a while. But we are also seeing this has kind of become a big thing. Like, since COVID, we've all become a lot closer with playing games, and Parsec has given us the ability to do so. But Tampa Never Sleep has done yet again something crazy in my mind, because first they were running lobbies of two, and they were like, yeah, you know, we're just going to run two lobbies. You win in the small lobby, and this is, might I add, it's not just West Coast or just East Coast. It's all. Everyone is welcome to play.
Yeah, yeah.
So they'll run it all. They'll run their Parsec off of a server, and you'll move from the lower stage to the main stage, which is a bigger screen. And people really, your name's like literally says main, like it says main, which is like for the main stage, and it'll have your name versus who. And that's like it. This is like our own little Evo, but like casuals Evo. You know what I mean? Like, we're always getting something out of this, even if you want to watch, like, I don't know, maybe I don't want to watch the main stage. Guess what? I could watch the three other stages, because guess what? They just upgraded again on January 1st. And it's funny because when I talked to Song, he said, you know, man, I don't think, literally his words, I don't think two Marvel setups is going to be enough. I'm going to have to do like three next time. And this man went above and beyond, did four. So I think that's amazing. Someone's putting so much time into the community. I would hope the community gives back to him. And Tampa Never Sleeps in general, by supporting them, because they've been putting together legitimately content, real content for people to watch, by having, you know, 5v5s, they're having 2v2 tournaments, they're, you know, the extra, like, side mod developers are jumping in, mm-hmm, and giving their fair share, like Jason Game Dev and stuff. So we're getting these mixtures of content to build, and I love that Tampa Never Sleeps is the ones behind it, because their streams are fun. They're not kid friendly until, as Tong said, not kid friendly until we get partnership. So definitely keep helping support them, because I think they're good people, and I think honestly this is a good thing for fighting games.
Straight up, you know, it, and they're kind of like one of the other thing I want to put out there is, like, especially early in the COVID world, with Parsec blowing up the way that it has, they were definitely some of the early adopters of it. And at least for the FGC, you know, showed that how they could implement it. So, you know, shout outs to them for that. And yeah, definitely support, you know, it's a Marvel. Clearly Marvel still has a place in all our hearts, as it will and shall continue to have for quite some time, until, like, eventually Marvel 4, if that ever happens. And I'm not counting MBCI. Sorry, dudes.
You're good.
But yeah, definitely go support them. Like I said, and also go support them, because you might see a wild Static Gorilla in there too. So yeah.
I definitely, without a doubt, you guys will always hear me talk that Parsec is trash, but I think Parsec for situations like this in games that don't have the best netcode, and I'm talking about games legitimately that have trash netcode, like UMVC3, this is where it belongs. Mm. It doesn't belong on no Street Fighter V, no Soul Calibur 6, no Tekken 7. You know, get that shit out of here. You guys don't need Parsec. Just play on your normal network. It's not that bad compared to the old days.
Some other games, yeah. Other games. All right. So with that, I actually kind of make a quick transition over. Big Scythe, shout out to you, homie. Also, Happy New Year's and all that. I hope everything is good with you, the fam. He posts that up, hit us with a question real quick, as he always does. So he hit us with MVCI versus Dragon Ball. What was MVCI's missing as far as mechanics versus Dragon Ball? What could Dragon Ball take from the Marvel series to go to the next level for the spectator? It's kind of like, it's a deep question. I don't know if we're going to like go super hardcore on it, but I know Mez was like, yo, dog, I'm ready to address this. Let me add him. And I was like, I bet you want to talk about it. Let's talk about it. So, Meza, what are we feeling?
So, look, here's the thing. I've been in both worlds, especially MVCI. I don't want to say what it's missing. I don't think MVCI was missing a mechanic. It really wasn't. It was an assortment of mechanics put together on top of copy-pasted characters that nobody wanted to fucking see, realistically speaking. what can Dragon Ball take from the Marvel series outside of, okay, so there's two questions in here. There's what is MVCI missing as far as mechanics, right? Then there's Dragon Ball, what can it take from the Marvel series? The easy answer for MVCI is they're missing their companies behind them. That's the mechanic that they needed. And with that being said, the game played fine. It had its boring moments and faulties, which I think it could have been pushed forward. But at the end of the day, it still needs a company behind it to support it to even change a mechanic. So I think their mechanics was having their companies behind them. And when that failed, the game failed. So that's where I leave that. Because if I dive any deeper into MVCI, I'm not going to get happy.
He's not coming back.
I like that game a lot. And I put a lot of time into it. And I traveled for it. So being able to go outside of the States for that made me really pissed off. But like I said, I digress. I'm not going to dive into that. That is just another world that falls on the companies more than the mechanics of the game. What can Dragon Ball do and take from Marvel series? It's been doing it. I hate to say it. It's been doing it. But they slacked off for a bit because, in my opinion, they're not making characters that are notable. They're not putting characters in the game that people actually care to look at. I don't care to look at Super Baby, but a lot of other people don't either. And there's some people who are like, yeah, I've always wanted Baby Vegeta and blah, blah, blah. But that's another damn Vegeta character. Nobody cares. I don't care about Gogeta. Like these replications of these characters, there's no uniqueness to it. So when you see them do a combo, like I give it to them, they did UI Goku, right? So that's like a Marvel character. That character does everything. That's like watching Ray Ray play, you know, Magneto, and you're like, holy shit, I gotta play Magneto. He does everything. Or watching Storm in MVC2. She does everything. So it's one of those elements where it gets you excited to know anything's possible with this character. The problem is, with a lot of the characters in Dragon Ball, which is kind of restricted to the game system mechanics, is not every character can do everything. They can kind of all do the same damn thing. And that's where we start having our problems because, realistically,
nothing's differentiating each other.
Yeah.
Like, extensively enough to kind of create an identity for itself kind of deal.
Yeah, because you start having, you have big streamers, like you have like Christy, you have, you know, a Cloud who are trying not to play the main things. Look at Hooking God. He barely cannot play what he used to, which made him Hooking God, which made him unique as a player. Now it's like, I mean, you got Christy playing Videl because she has unique play style and unique routes for combos, which make you go, holy shit, that's actually really cool and different. I want to jump in or I want to watch this more. But when you have somebody like Super Saiyan Goku, Vegeta, they're all doing these basic ass routes that aren't really exciting, really aren't explosive. So yeah, you should have characters like that. But when 60% of your cast is like that and you're trying to balance it to not be like that, it's rough. That, I mean, you keep putting out Goku characters who all look like they have the same move. What the fuck do you think is going to happen?
I think, yeah, it's kind of tough. Like, to be honest, the other thing about Marvel is just like, you know, the characters all were unique, right? Yeah. Like, they had some had uniquely busted mechanics, but they worked well into the system. Like, They're so similar in this game. The dragon rushes, the assist. Everyone has a C assist that does not the same thing. Obviously, there are differences in the assist, but like, you know, the C assist is, you know, universally like a teleporting tracking type of assist, right? Everyone has that, so it's kind of hard to differentiate what your gameplay is. A lot of instant air dashing, cross ups, right? While as in Marvel, it's like, I don't know, if say one character can do triangle jump, you know, is doing triangle dashing, you know, is part of the mechanic. What about the characters that, you know, when they reset cross under to fake grab, oh, left, right, overhead because of an assist? Like, and that was just like one instance in an incredible combination of possibilities, right? That like, so like most of the time the matches never usually go the same way usually, yeah. Like unless it's just a sweep, you know, it's a mop up, like, you know, you just get bodied by a crazy unblockable, like set play teams like Zero May Cry and such. You don't get that in Dragon Ball, and I think that's just like you said, it's a fault of the system itself. The character variety just doesn't allow for that kind of freedom, hence why you see it kind of lack in that instance. So it's kind of hard to say to take notes from Marvel because it's so engraved in the game. It's like it's kind of impossible. And when we're talking spectator side, like I don't know. I really don't know. Like, you know, we were at the worst of it when it came to like the snapback meta, right? It was a snapback every other time. You know, the matches lasted forever because you were killing them slowly. I don't know. It's hard to compare it to. It's hard to really even try to make one more like the other because, like I said, mechanically, like at its core, you really can't.
I'll say this. I agree with that 100% because, and while we're sitting and thinking about it, the difference between Marvel and Dragon Ball is, in Dragon Ball, we see everybody get to a certain point where they are strong and they do some insane things. But in Marvel and versus Capcom, however you want to look at it, everybody's already busted in some way. Hence, try dashing, doing all these different types of movements. That is hard to replicate in another game. So it's like doing music. Something that goes, that's a banger at like 60 BPM, that's slow. And you're like, oh man, I can listen to this jam all night because the lights are down low. Isn't the same stuff you're going to listen to that's at 120 BPM with the lights down low. You might need laser lights and stuff because it's a different speed. And Dragon Ball is just a different speed than Marvel is. And that's something that's never going to be changed just due to the fact that they wanted viewers to see what's happening. They wanted these animations to be looked at. In Marvel, sometimes you don't see half the animations because shit's happening too fast. And that's a part of that world. And that's how we perceived games were meant to be played back then. Really fast. Really, it was for the player. It was less for the viewership. But the players who were viewing saw it as, that's insane. That's something that shouldn't happen. And if we were to even dive a little bit deeper, and I'm not going to go too far into it because we could literally write a book on this. The difference between Marvel, at least using UMVC3, them using spheres for their hitboxes was already outlandish as hell. Dragon Ball can't do that. I just don't think it's going to be. They could. But I don't think it's going to be a feasible thing. That's why you see in UMVC 3, you got Doom doing like backwards punches and shit on characters who are not even facing him. And he's doing long combos like that, which is exciting for the viewership because it's something that's unseen. Just like how at MVCI, when we first had all the stones, people were like, these stones are trash. Everybody's just going to use, you know, Power Stone. But as things fleshed out, it was a lot more entertaining because we got to see what was good, what was bad, what was changeable, what was useful in different matchups. In Dragon Ball, there's no system like that where there's uniqueness to the game where if I do something outside of re-jump combos, which Marvel already has, outside of corner combos that allow you to continue a combo that wouldn't normally be normal, Marvel already has that. Like, there's only so much they can take before the game starts being a carbon copy. And then it's not Dragon Ball anymore. That's why I like Dragon Ball for what it is. But spectator-wise, I think Dragon Ball is, to take it to the next level, I think they did that. They gave more damage to the anchor characters. They, you know, definitely added half EX bars, so now you can do moves more often. Do I think it's a little insane?
Yeah, that's so funny. I look back on it, I'm like, wow, that was a very drastic change that I think, I mean, was a good move, but like, holy crap, like before that,
it's bonkers. Days. That shit is bonkers. I've been back in the game for a while. It's to the point where the player may not enjoy it as much, but from a viewer standpoint, you will enjoy when somebody is using a move more than twice that actually could make somebody guess and create a cool scenario, just like in Smash. You know, I think if anything, Dragon Ball is going to fall along those lines of Smash. Smash is the same game system every time it comes out. Maybe they tweak one or two things, but it's the same thing. Knock somebody off the map. Edge guard, Trump, all these things. Like, the same shit in every game. If Dragon Ball wants to be successful, just like how Marvel was successful, do the same systematic thing that works. But just add it's like adding a touch of salt or pepper onto your seasoning your food. That's the only way they can make it better for the spectator. They won't make it better if they just try to do, which they got lucky to do these drastic changes. So now they're in a good place. Don't do drastic changes. Sprinkle, dash. That's it. You don't need any more.
All right. So hopefully that answered your question, Sife. I know that was a hell of a rant, but brother hitting with the hard questions for real to deal with.
But, yeah, that was a lot.
what, Yeah, yeah. And actually, I don't know, there's another one you posted me, you tagged me in. I'll probably address that on next week's show. Don't think I forgot, though, Romy. Thank you for that. So, you know, we're going to move right into our focus attack, which is actually a part of that we didn't get a chance to talk about because we went in, you know, on our reflections of, you know, doing this for so long on our last episode. But, you know, yo, new year, but unfortunately, we're still in the same situation. And, you know, the big thing that I kind of really wanted to ask and talk about or discuss a bit is really, you know, the expectations, FGC expectations 2021. You know, with developers, besides putting out whatever DLC they have left over, right? You know, Street Fighter with their Season 5, Dragon Ball doing their thing, and other developers that are just releasing games like Guilty and more than one game, you know, you got Guilty, then you got, what is it? A dungeon fighter duel. You know, these developers have to now start kind of like, in my opinion, I think that we're gonna start seeing a lot of focusing and lasering on more net play capabilities. Like it's kind of like gonna become more of a priority. You know, gameplay and balancing is still gonna be a big piece, but I think in order for them to for us to survive and two to continue the lifespan of these games, you know, the back end of netplay needs to really, really be focused on, no pun intended there. As we're seeing plenty of them implement rollback netcode, right? Like it has to have it. Strive originally wasn't gonna have it. We're like, no, like it really, really needs to have it. And that was even early COVID, right? That was earlier in the year last year in 2020. But you know, Fexos added it. They also, you know, Guilty Gear Accent Core Plus R went on a beta with it to astounding success. I think it's topped the top 10 fighting games on the Steam charts still right now, which is awesome. Being out a lot of modern games that don't have that implemented. So for me, you know, in terms of developers, that is something like they need to. I think we're gonna see maybe some more feedback in some more possible surveying that they're gonna do, because if they, like I said, if they're gonna want their game to last any longer, like this, it needs to happen, because like either that or unfortunately it's gonna be left to the, you know, whether it's the TOs or the community itself to kind of figure out a solution. But we don't want to get put in another situation of like, say, you know, Slippy and Nintendo, right? Like that's you know, that is quite literally that situation where the community really legit just took it to their hands to develop an actual product that A, worked to the needs of the community, to the satisfaction of the community, and without the development of Nintendo. But of course, you know, the other side of that is just like Nintendo just killing that project, because the project is still going on, but you know, any possible tournaments, you know, Free Melee, right? Hashtag Free Melee. That's still a thing right now. Where they snuffed out that kind of position or that path that they could have taken. Is that gonna happen with ours? What if in the PC ports of these games someone develops a tool that allows them to, I don't know, do better, you know, peer-to-peer connections, maybe implement rollback somewhere in there. I mean, the way it develops, like you actually have to deal with game code and such, so it's a little different. But regardless, you know, it push comes to shove, that's what could happen. So in my opinion, in 2021, I think we're gonna see more of that from these developers. Because it only makes sense to be the right move, in my mind. But on the other side of that, you know, the big elephant in the room is, you know, your majors, your locals, you know, what's happening there, your Evos. Like, you know, if this wasn't happening this time this year, we would be talking about Evo Japan.
Yeah.
Which clearly is not happening, for a multitude of reasons. But is it gonna be another year off of most majors? Which a part of me, once again, I like the idea of taking a year off, because like we were in like such a weird point. At least, you know, certain TOs were. And maybe, you know, sometimes it's good to take a break. I know year after year, maybe even if they're doing one event, two events, or if you're like your biggies, you got like four of them or whatever. It's rough, dude. That's a lot of work. And and the money and effort that goes into it, like it's okay to take a year to just take a breath and push back, especially when a year like, you know, 2020, where it was kind of forced upon you. It's not like so much that like you couldn't financially do it or there were other problems. It's like, no, like you have no choice. So you're kind of given this opportunity to reset, right? And take a second. Are we going to see maybe these TOs then take a possibility of a Parsec route or go to PC? Because, you know, nowadays, you know, being PC on fighting games is becoming more of a norm, right? This is one of the impromptu results that has happened due to COVID and not having locals. Like, you know, you're going to like play on the best platforms and PC's done pretty well. But what's going to happen to the majors this year? Like, are we going to see an Evo?
This is like my favorite.
Is Evo even going to be Evo, right? Like, is it going to be something else? No, that's going to be we're going to talk about as we continue. But like, what are we looking forward to in 2021 at this point, outside of Capcom Cup that we see? But like, that's, you know, going to Dominican Republic. They're flying out people like that. Your regular TO is not doing that. That's not happening. Are we going to see more invitationals, right? Is that going to be the path? Are we still going to try to get by on content like invitationals with the top 16, top 32 players or something like Beyond the Summit style kind of deal? It's possible.
Do you know why I like this time period? That this like instance of why everybody is like flipping the hell out. They're like, oh my God, no more majors. Oh God, what are we going to do? TOs aren't running anything. I'm happy. And the reason why I'm happy, and I normally wouldn't talk like this, but I'm thinking about it.
Not much of a social person, if you guys haven't realized. Nah,
I'm thinking of it from a different perspective from now, right? We usually sit here and we go to major after major after major after major, right? We're dumping money out 24/7, but there's nothing coming back, right? The idea of something coming back is us spending time with friends, us enjoying the whatever environment we're in to feel like when we walk through those doors of a hotel, like we are professional players, regardless if we have a tag or not. I've always loved that aspect. But over the course of years, whether it be the events or certain events, lacking thereof, you know, I'm putting down $75 to go to this event and I'm flying out to it. I expect fucking flawlessness after 8 to 9 years of doing this now at this point. I expect there to be no issues where I'm getting DQ'd from a bracket. But then I look at online, if I get DQ'd from a bracket, that's my own fault because I'm sitting in my chair and I'm in front of my computer.
It's your own fault regardless, more or less.
No, not necessarily. I've seen people DQ'd for being in another game and saying that, hey, I'm in another game.
Okay, that is also
But
true.
You know what I mean? Like the little things. It's not like something that's like obviously your fault and you know it. But I'm saying like it's more than just that. I feel like this will flesh out all the fucking TOs that just don't really want to do this anymore or are doing it for a money grab. It's going to flesh out TOs mostly because now companies are going to step in. This is company territory now. See, like, yeah, obviously we can have people like Tampa Never Sleeps. We can have, you know, what's the crew out there doing does all the Chicago stuff?
Low Kick.
Yeah. They can still do their stuff. I see 4-4 went to straight online. Locals are going to be more prominent now. Majors, those shits don't really exist anymore. It's literally locals. And if it's not a local, it's a jointed thing that the community put together, like Deuce does for Soul Calibur having a monthly. You have all these investments through the community now. And what happens is, you have stuff like Capcom Cup. You have Dragon Ball Worlds, right? Or rather the tour that nobody knew how to fuck anybody got in. They just got invited. The Invitational World Tour, which is cool. I love that. Because now there's incentive to feel like you should work harder to get in. And guess what? You're sitting at home. You don't have to pay money to go to an event. All you have to do is just sign up online because most stuff is free right now. So before anything happens with TOs and all that stuff, I've already X'd out big majors. I've already X'd out, you know, an idea of Evo at this point. The only people who can have Evo is Japanese players right now. because they're in that country. They're over there in Japan, and if they want to have Evo Japan, they're safe enough to do it. We're not.
Yeah. That's actually a good point that you just reminded me of. Is I think the other thing that we're gonna just kind of see is the route that we already saw, you know, earlier this year with like Dragon Ball World Tour, mm-hmm. With Capcom Pro Tour, is now we're gonna have maybe more regional events like that. It's we're no longer gonna compete with each other for a while. Eventually, I think we will. Capcom Pro Tour right now is Capcom Cup is kind of like the perfect instance of it. I wish they would have done it for Dragon Ball World Tour, to be honest.
100%.
Where they just like took the winners, maybe they took the top two of each, and then bam, like, you know, you have your 16 bracket or something like that, and you do it in person in a controlled environment. This is what I mean by like,
kind of, I mean,
like, invitational side. Yeah, this was honestly a test. Wouldn't be surprised if this is how we're going to see the 2021, but definitely more regional, because you really can't. You can't create those same sequences of NA versus Japan or mm-hmm. UK versus NA. That's just not happening due to just the netcode limitations, right? And the good side of that, the byproduct there that I've noticed is that you're now not going to get maybe more spotlight on more of the regional players that maybe are like, they're like good, but like maybe they don't crack up the top three.
Look at South America,
right? They're not. But now because, you know, you're emphasizing more on those regions, now you're going to really deal with more of the players from that region. So you have a chance to spotlight more of the talent there, right? Like more of the potential talent out there, which I think is also a good thing. So it's like kind of a good thing at the same time. There's like silver linings to it, but I think, like you said earlier, Meza is correct. Like this year was honestly such a large test for it. It hasn't stopped other TOs though from like kind of looking forward. Like, you know, NEC's been announced for next year, December 1st and 2nd. If everything is Gucci by then, you know, we're already in unknown territories.
I will tell you now,
the vaccinations and all that. So we don't know.
You will not fucking see me at that event.
You will not see me. That's the other side, dude. That's
no.
That's the other side. It's like it's. Oh God! It's even if we kind of get like I honestly don't know how the aftershock of this is gonna be for people. When we kind of try to get back into a post normal world, right? A pre COVID world. Because I don't even know myself.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't even know how I would feel about going out to locals like that. I mean, it's because we just don't know the situation, right?
You don't know who's what
in such a way.
You know, it's the unknown. It's the unknown. You don't know what people are carrying. You don't know what people have. You don't know if somebody's like, well, I already, like, you know, had COVID, but maybe they didn't get the vaccine and now they're out here just doing whatever. You know, you don't know.
Motherfuckers don't bathe. I know. It's crazy. Yeah.
So
we already have a bad rep there. It's not a good look.
I don't want people to think that, like, I'm saying don't go to events. I am saying, yes, if you're going to go to an event, be cautious of how you carry
yourself. You might see me in a hazmat suit, dog. I'm not going to lie. I might just go in a straight hazmat.
That's the only way
you're going to see me chilling out there.
When you go, you can hardwire me to your phone as, you know, through a Zoom, and I will watch from your phone.
Yeah, like, right?
My thing is, so I appreciate that TOs want to jump back in, try to give people faith and, you know, hope that, you know, events are still coming. Events aren't going to be gone. Look, I know events aren't going to be gone. They're just not here right now. I could see it over in Korea. They do events offline because they can. They've taken care of everything they need to. But like, I also look at it as, if I'm a big company, why would I support that? You know what I mean? Like, if I'm like, oh, all right, well, NEC is coming up. I work for Capcom, or rather, I work for, you know, Bandai Namco. Why would I invest any money into an event that's already unsafe because things are not fully 100% safe? Because if something goes wrong, let's say they had 1,000 people there and 500 of them all outbreak have COVID now. Guess what happens? That looks bad on the gaming companies. So do I think it's smart for TOs to open shit back up that's offline outside of locals? No, it's unsafe. It's just not smart. You're gonna lose money and you're not gonna have investors, period, because investors don't want to be tied to that. But at the same time, I feel like TOs are the TOs who are doing the late game, oh shit, I gotta hurry up now to get things done, you're late. You're a year and a half late, pretty much, in a sense. If you're thinking that these guys who've been broadcasting locals and that have been busting their asses are going to just give up a free spot for you to run your event online now. Because guess what? That takes manpower. And guess what? Nobody's getting paid to run online shit. Trust me. I've done online commentary and I'm still doing it. I hate it because things are unorganized to some extent. So realistically speaking, I just don't see the TOs who don't have the money and manpower that they normally would offline, or even if they do partially offline, they're not going to be able to do it online. Online's a different beast. And if they haven't been in it now, it's going to be harder for them later. That's why, like, I love what Jabaley's doing. You don't see Jabaley being like, now granted, he has money, but you don't see him going, damn, I gotta hurry up and get CEO back and going. He's like, no, I'll just take it online. I'll tell my people, let's just prep for online. And that's what they're doing. That's what they've been doing. And I think every TO should be doing that right now. Because if you want to keep, yes, these majors alive, not offline majors, but like majors in general, then you gotta at least talk. Like, what I would do is I'd be like, yo, you know what? Maybe I want Tampa Never Sleeps. They run their shit properly. They can run brackets. They can also run a four string deck type style. Hey, do you guys want to host our event? We will pay you to host it, but you know, any revenue or funds will split some type of way. You guys can do a major for us. That's smart. But what are they going to do? They're going to try to money grab everything. And this is just a TO perspective, and I'm not mad about the hustle. I'm just like, you guys are late. So yeah, when I look for stuff in the future for broadcasting, I think it's fucking impossible for TOs who think that the wave for offline is going to come back anytime soon. I'm actually for online.
The one thing that's also something for me is that even if offline events come back, the good thing that has come through with 2020 is I think the embracing online events is never really going to go away now, because it's been proven that it can work. And I think that's honestly progress, because you know, think about it, before you know COVID, it was like, yeah, there were some online events here and it wasn't taken as seriously though, right?
Yeah,
like, it wasn't. Now it's like, well, it's all we got, and I think it opened up a lot of people's perspectives on it. And sure, is it perfect? No, not even close. I won't even try to make it seem as if it was, because it legit is not.
Yeah.
But I think even if we do come back to offline, I think online, like your Tampa Never Sleeps and such, they're not gonna go anywhere.
Oh no, not at all.
Yeah. So.
And I just wanted to say one last thing, because I know we're about to wrap it up, but Evo, people can stop getting their hopes up. Evo is, there's two things that's going to happen. Either Evo right now, which I believe is the way it is burned to the ground. One, there's no events.
Burned to the ground. Remember, they did it online. They did it online. Or they did, yeah, they did it online. But we didn't have Evo.
Let's get that straight. Anime Evo is not Evo. That's separate from everything. And not also, to discredit them.
You know what? No, you know what? You're 100% correct. And it's not even going to be Anime Evo anymore. I'm pretty sure they're already... We reported that. They are rebranding.
Yeah, so...
All right, but go on.
So, I personally don't care for Evo. Like, I love going to Evo when it was available to us. And I'm not, like, jumping on the bandwagon like, oh, God, this is what happened. Let's burn Evo down. No, Evo is a great fucking name for what we've been doing for years for the positive right reasons. Do I think that Evo is going to change a name? Yeah, probably. It's going to go under different management. But the realistic part is nobody should be thinking about Evo at all, because what's replacing Evo are all these world tours. And what people should be focusing on is getting into these world tours, not focusing on, well, I'll wait for my chance to play an Evo online or whatever the fuck it's going to be called in the future. No, you don't have to worry about that. Just focus on playing in these world tours and playing your game. Play in every possible tournament, because I look at something like Power Rangers. Power Rangers has done it phenomenally. You know, they may not have the most players, they may not have the most money, but what they do right is they have a PR ranking system. They have their own style of world tour stuff that they do. And at one point, everything's going to turn into invitational. And people don't realize that yet. But invitational is on the rise. If you thought it was super secretive now, wait until 6 months from now when everything becomes more invitational for more specific events.
Yeah, I mean, invitationals, like I said, are literally the only way you can do some in-person kind of content. Like, and even then, it has to be super controlled, right? I don't know if they're going to be as common. And it, like, I don't think they're going to happen as often as you think. But I know I think they're going to be more prevalent.
Yeah.
This year. Yeah. Because an invitational is really content, and it's really it's meant just to be a spectator event. You know, it's not an event.
Exactly.
It's not catered to the competitors of a game, because, you know, unless you're in the top 16 or you're in the invite list, like, you're not getting in, so you don't have to worry about a bracket or anything like that.
When was the last Dragon Ball tournament that you saw that wasn't run by a community member?
No, like, that's different from, like, say, invitational.
But Dragon Ball World, that Dragon Ball Invitational World Tour was invitational. I know it was for content, but they still played for money. You see what I'm saying? Like,
yes. Yeah, like, no, when I'm talking invitational, I'm just talking about, like, I'm talking a different kind of invitation. I'm talking about, like, kind of still community ramp, but, like, it's that tier above it. Like I said, like, your summits. Right, Smash Summit, your power, you know, Summit of Power and stuff like that style invitational, your Battle of the Strongest for Marvel 2, where, you know, you're doing one offs every couple of months, maybe, or maybe every 6 months to A, create content for said channel or whatever personalities, and B, you know, get the viewership or keep something hot, right? Like give mm-hmm. them the highest possible a spectator experience. Like, that's what I'm saying is going to be more common.
We're going to see more of it
in 2021. If for any kind of in person, because outside of that, it will just be your regular online events.
Well, yeah, those invitationals, in my opinion, will always be online more. But those world tour invitational stuff, the stuff by the companies, are going to be, they're not going to be like hardcore happening more often. But you're going to see more of those where they become more offline. For top like 8, top 6, whatever they choose. And I'm saying people have to not worry about tournaments and majors right now. Like, if you can enter a tournament that's free, enter it. It'll be good for you. It'll be good, you know, publicity and stuff like that. Invitations, and get a possibility into one of those summit invitationals, which plays a big role in being noticed in the bigger ones. But at the end of the day, nobody should be focusing on how hardcore can I go in online majors, because realistically, there haven't really been any, and it's going to kind of go that way. It's going to be a lot of local type stuff, a lot of invitational stuff that you're talking about, and a lot of world tour stuff / invitational world tour stuff. So I guess in my eyes, I just don't see, I don't want people going out being like, I got to be the best online competitor. No, work on your craft now, because there's going to come a time where the expectation for her playing offline will arrive, but it will be different than what we've always expected, where we have thousands of people to play against to do it. That's how I look at it now. Now you're in a bigger pool, but it's not that hard because you have accessibility to all these things now compared to before, where there weren't online things that people paid attention to. Like, companies have to now. Capcom Cup has to do online stuff. They can't avoid it anymore. Like, they did what? Originally two Capcom Pro Tour tournaments online before we did this, and they brought two people in from online, or one person from Latin America, I think it was, back in the past.
Was it only two?
I think it was like four, maybe four. It was like roughly around there.
Double check,
because there was a lot more offline ones. But my thing is, at the end of the day, we have to stop looking for those big Evos and CEOs, and just kind of focus on playing in your local, playing in your like somewhat pseudo tournament tour styles that they're doing right now, because that's what companies are paying attention to. And that's where, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if 2022 came around and we had very minimal amounts of majors that are being controlled by companies.
Oh yeah, it's eventually, that's a whole other conversation.
I think it's gonna come sooner is what I'm saying, I guess.
You think so?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, after COVID, just being the way it is, it shut down a lot of TOs. You know, it's going to shut down a lot of TOs.
That is also a good point. That is a good point. That is definitely a good point. We'll see. We'll see, though. Yeah. But yeah, that's. Yeah, I want to hear from you guys, though. Would love to hear what your thoughts on, you know, your expectations on 2021. We will have a community question for you guys next week. But in the meantime, you know, 2021, what are your expectations? What do you believe might happen? And what would you like to see kind of happen? I mean, obviously, everyone would love to go back to offline, right? Like, that'd be great. But to be honest, I think this has more been, you know, I think it's going to be more of a lateral move in 2021. But we'd love to hear from you guys, the listeners. Let us know. Tweet at us. Hit us up on the Discord. You know, give us the deets, and we'd love to talk about it next week. But regardless, that's going to be it for us this week, guys, on this episode of Double Tap. I want to say thank you very much for hanging out. We appreciate it. First one of the year. Knock it down. Another year coming. Another 200 shows to do. Appreciate you guys hanging out. Make sure to follow us at Double Tap on at Double Tap FGC on Twitter. Excuse me. I almost said at Double Tap at FGC. You can follow me at Crash Tag VS. You can also check out Meza at Meza FGC on Twitch, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, all over the place. Also check out the Mash Those Buttons Twitter at The Mash Network. You can join us on Discord, discord.me/MashThoseButtons, where, you know, if you join us there, you'll see a little Double Tap session where we kind of post up our articles. We'll be posting up community questions. And we're also going to be doing a new segment next week, so be on the lookout for that. Like I said earlier in the previous show, there's a lot of segments I've been wanting to implement. And you know what? Fuck it, new year, new me, psych. Let's just implement something new and get it going. All right, guys. Once again, you guys can contact us on your podcast platform of choice, Spotify, iTunes, whatever. You know, you can throw off some questions there. What is it? Oh my goodness, why am I
just
SoundCloud? SoundCloud. No, yeah, I tried to say SkyCloud and shit, like, anyway, or SoundSky, and I'm like, wait, that's not right. SoundCloud, you know. Post up your comments, anything, questions. We will find them. We will get to them as soon as possible. You guys can also leave us any kind of feedback on any of those platforms as well. We greatly appreciate the feedback. Even though it's a new year, we still love to hear any kind of feedback from you guys. We're already seeing the Twitter tags, you know, who you would like on the show. That you gave me a list. Trust, I will go out and I'm going to see who I can get in here. I would love to get some of the people on that list. So a shout out, I believe it was Sixth Sense that posted that up. Thanks for that, homie. I will definitely be reaching out. But of course, like I said, any feedback you guys can give us would be appreciated. So that way, you know, we know we're doing right. We can keep it going. And what we're doing wrong, we can learn to match up and kind of fix that up for you guys. And rating, reviewing the show also helps out a lot. Rating just helps, you know, kind of mess with the algorithm, make sure that we're showing up a bit more, even though we're the number one, you know, fighting game podcast on iTunes and all that. Dirt off my shoulders. You got some too, Mezzan. Let me get that off of you.
Word.
But still, it's greatly appreciated if you guys would do that. But stay tuned after the show to hear about our other shows here on the Mash Those Buttons Network. And we'll catch you guys next week on the 11th to talk some more fighting games. So until then, I'm Crash. That's Meza. See you guys next week.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to a Mash Those Buttons production. If you enjoyed the show, you should check out mashthosebuttons.com and see if any of our other shows might interest you. All of our shows are available on your podcast platform of choice like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. If you enjoy our content, you can help support Mash Those Buttons by becoming a patron at patreon.com/mashthosebuttons, where you can receive Patreon bonuses for as little as $1 a month. You can connect with Mash Those Buttons at twitter.com/TheMashNetwork, facebook.com/MashThoseButtons, or join our Discord at mash.gg/Discord.